Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Clash by Winter Travers, narrated by Paul Bryan and Melissa Barr. Chapter 1. Clash.
Anyone else see that?
I looked up from my beer.
See what?
Brink slid onto the bar stool next to me.
Just past Raven in the hallway. She had a pack of matches and one of those red gas cans with her.
Ha ha, funny. That was the last thing I needed right now.
Brother, I ain't fucking kidding.
Fucking shit.
I sprang up, and the bar stool under me skidded backward.
Why the hell didn't you stop her?
I demanded. Brinks held up his hands.
Not my fucking problem.
That right there was bullshit. You can tell Wrecker that when Raven blows up the fucking clubhouse, and you saw her with the damn matches before. I jogged down the hallway past all of the bedrooms and out the back door. I wondered how long it would take for Brinks to rat me out. Raven stood in front of the fire pit with her arm extended, emptying the contents of the gas can.
What in the ever-loving fuck are you doing?
She shook the empty gas can, making sure to get every drop out.
Having a bonfire.
She tossed the can on the ground and bent over to pick up the pack of matches.
Whoa, whoa, whoa!
I snagged the matches from her hand.
You really think emptying a can of gas onto...
I looked down in the fire pit, and my jaw dropped.
Are those Barbie dolls?
That was interesting kindling. She tried to grab the matches from me, but I dodged her reach.
Yeah. You done being Smokey the Bear and gonna let me have the matches?
Hell no. I shoved the matches in my pocket. You ain't lighting this shit on fire.
Then you light it on fire, she insisted. You have a fucking gallon of gas on this shit, Raven.
I light that on fire. You and I are likely to go up in flames with it. She shrugged and folded her arms across her chest.
Some days that wouldn't be too bad.
What in the hell is going on with you?
None of your fucking business, bike boy. Just give me back my matches and be on your way.
Bike boy? Have you reached a whole new level of bitch? I was at my wit's end with Raven. She was so pissed off at life, but she didn't want to tell anyone why. Wrecker had given me the abbreviated rundown. Mom dead, foster care, no family but Wrecker. Shitty hand, but she wasn't the only one who had been dealt shit cards. To me, it was all about how you chose to play them. Right now, Raven was living on the corner of Poor Me Street, and I'm a bitch.
And have you reached a whole new level of asshole? Last I heard, guys weren't supposed to call chicks bitches.
Well, the shoe fucking fits, and damned if you don't put that shit on and lace it up.
Remind me again why you thought you needed to come out here, she drawled.
Always just talking in circles when it came to Raven. While the chick was hot as fuck, she would fuck with your head without blinking. Trying to prevent you from burning down the clubhouse. Pretty sure Wrecker would shit an actual brick if that happened.
Wrecker, Wrecker, she mumbled under her breath. Everything leads back to that asshole.
She spun on her heel and plopped down in one of the chairs. He is the prez, darling, and you're staying at the clubhouse. I knew she had major issues with Wrecker, but none of us really knew what they were. She sighed and stretched her feet out in front of her.
The gas can was only a quarter of the way full. I know you don't want anything to do with me, but can you just light the damn fire?
It really that important to you? I questioned. She leaned her head back and looked up at the sky.
I don't have anything that's important to me, Clash.
The weight of her words hung in the air. I find that hard to believe.
Also don't have much to believe in either, she said softly. Light the damn fire and leave me alone, Clash. I promise not to light the clubhouse on fire.
I'm not leaving you out here by yourself. She pointed to the other side of the fire pit.
Then your ass can sit over there and keep your lips zipped. I came out here and didn't tell anyone because I want to be alone.
She leaned down and grabbed a bottle off the ground.
I'm not sharing my bottle with you either.
Not drinking, I drawled. At least, I wasn't anymore. Raven was in a mood I'd never seen before. Don't get me wrong, she was still being a bitch, but for once, I saw something more than that. I light this fire, and I'm the one in charge of it.
Whatever, just light the damn thing.
I pulled the book of matches from my pocket and struck a match against the back of it. The fire sparked to life immediately. The flames rose, and I had to take a step back.
Thought you said it was only a quarter of the can, I murmured. Quarter, half, not like I had a fucking measuring cup or anything.
The flames died down quickly,
and the Barbie dolls on the top of the wood melted quickly. "Do I get to ask why we're burning Barbie dolls?" She took a swig from the bottle and wiped her mouth with the back of her hand. "Sit your ass down, bike boy, and shut your mouth." There was the hard-mouthed bitch Raven was so good at being. "I'll take that as a no, and make up some weird story why we're burning dolls at midnight."
"You do that," she mumbled.
I shook my head and sat down in the chair opposite of her. I watched as she drank from the bottle and looked up at the sky when she wasn't drinking. The moon reflected off her pitch-black hair, and I could make out the curve of her lips as her tongue swooped out to catch the drop of liquor.
"You think you can stop being a creeper, bike boy? If you're just going to stare at me, then you might as well talk."
"You are one of a kind, Raven." She winked and tipped the bottle toward me.
"Right back at you, Clash. Not a lot of guys would follow another guy around like a puppy dog and call it brotherhood."
I shook my head. This wasn't the first time Raven had said something like this to me. At first, it had pissed me the hell off, but now I knew her hate and rage wasn't directed at me. Since I was the one who was always around, that meant I got the brunt of it. That didn't mean I wasn't a little irritated by it, but I got it.
"You want me to stare at the fucking stars or something?"
"Or something," she murmured.
"You glad Myra's back?"
"Is she back?" She laughed dryly and reached into her pocket. She pulled out a pack of cigarettes and stuck one in the corner of her mouth.
"Can I have those matches you confiscated from me?"
I strolled around the fire, struck a match, and held it up to the cigarette. I tossed it in the fire and sat back down. "I still don't trust you with the matches. Lord knows what else you might have in mind to light on fire." The light of the fire flickered off the small hoop in her nose, and she smiled.
"You expect so little from me, Clash."
"Or is it I expect a lot, and I'm just hoping for a break from the madness?"
"Touché," she chuckled. "Now shut up and let me enjoy the sizzle of plastic melting from the Barbies."
"You got it." I kicked my feet out, crossed them at the ankles, and slouched down in my chair until my head touched the backrest. If this was how Raven wanted to spend the rest of the night, I wasn't going to argue with her. This was the most relaxed I had been in months, and I was going to take full advantage of it. Melting Barbies over a bonfire was more peaceful than you would think.
Chapter 2. Raven. "Where were you last night?" Myra eyed me from where she was seated at the table in the common room. "Fire." I grabbed a coffee cup out of the cabinet and filled it to the brim with milk. "Excuse me?" Myra sat up straight in her chair. "What the hell did you set on fire?" I rolled my eyes and reached into the back of the pantry. I felt around until my hand connected with the telltale crinkle of the double-stuffed Oreo bag. "Barbies and wood?" Myra pulled out the chair next to her, and I plopped down with my milk and cookies. "As usual, I have so many questions." "As you should." I peeled back the top of the Oreos and grabbed a stack. I placed them in front of me and stole Myra's fork off her plate. You know there are clean ones in the drawer, right?" By now, Myra should know I just didn't give a fuck about anything. That also included the fact she had used the fork before me. "This will do." I expertly wedged the tine of my fork into the cream of the Oreo, then dunked it into my milk. "Can we get back to what you were burning last night?" "I told you." I swirled the Oreo around in the milk and drowned it until the bubble stopped. "Where did you get Barbies from? Aren't you a little old for them?" I waited 5 more seconds, then pulled the cookie from the milk. "It's not like I bought them last week, Myra. They were from when I was a kid." "Okay," she drawled. "Then why did you burn them? Wouldn't it have been better to just throw them away?" I crammed the cookie into my mouth and wrapped my lips around the tines to clean them off as I pulled the fork out. "Where's the fun in that?" I mumbled with a mouthful of mushy cookie goodness. "Are you really eating Oreos for breakfast?" I stabbed another cookie in the cream, then dropped it into the milk. "If I would have known breakfast was going to be an inquisition from you, I would have taken my cookies and milk back to my room." "Then you wouldn't have seen me." I shrugged. It wasn't like I saw her much anyway. "I would have caught you later." Myra rested her elbows on the table and leaned toward me. "Raven." I looked up from watching the bubbles. "Yeah? What's going on?" "I'm waiting for the last breath from this Oreo before I eat it." She rolled her eyes. "That's not what I mean." Then what do you mean, Myra? I had woken up 10 minutes ago and was eating cookies. That was all I knew at the moment. If she wanted to have some deep talk, she needed to not expect me to actually have something to contribute to it so fucking early in the morning. I mean, what are you doing? I blinked slowly. I just told you what I'm doing. Killing Oreos and eating their delicious carcasses. Was I stuttering? Myra sighed heavily. So we're not going to have this talk right now? I pulled the cookie from the milk and let it drip. If you want to have a talk, then talk. I don't know what you're trying to talk about, so I can't have the talk unless you tell me what the talk is about. I shoved the cookie into my mouth. Too soggy, I moaned. There was a fine line when it came to drowning Oreos, and Myra had just made me cross it by trying to have a talk without me even knowing what the talk was about. Now it's Myra's turn to blink slowly. I don't even know what you just said.
Myra!
Oh, I smiled. Your badass biker is calling you. Run along. I shooed my hand at her and stabbed another Oreo.
We're not done with this conversation.
Boink called for Myra again. I held up the fork with the Oreo on the end and nodded toward Boink standing by the front door of the clubhouse. I think Boinkers might disagree with that. Myra glared over her shoulder at Boink and held up one finger. I'm coming. You see my warden lately? I hollered to Boink. Clash had been absent since I woke up. Normally, he was on my tail before my feet even hit the floor.
He had an errand he needed to run this morning.
Boink nodded toward Freak, who was sitting on the couch in front of the TV with a huge bowl of cereal in his hands.
Freak's got you until he gets back.
Behave, Myra said softly. I feigned looking offended and held my hand to my chest. Are you insinuating that I don't behave, Myra? A smirk spread across her lips. She reached over and rested her hand on my arm. We both know you don't behave, Raven. I just mean try not to kill Freak before Clash gets back here to keep your ass under control. He wished he had control of this ass, I mumbled. She squeezed my arm and stood up. We'll continue our discussion later. I nodded. I look forward to avoiding that at all costs. Lord, she mumbled under her breath. Later, girl. Myra practically ran across the clubhouse and right into Boink's arms. Boink nodded to me, and I flipped him off. I had to keep these guys on their toes. Swear to God, they all thought they just needed to tip their heads and women would do their bidding. Not this chick. No fucking way.
Do I need to put my running shoes on?
Freak called from the couch. You looking for a workout, Freak? I'm sure I could show you a couple of things you ain't never even heard of. I heard him audibly choke on a cereal. That was what you got when you tried to one-up me. I finished the last of my cookies and dropped my cup into the sink. I contemplated putting the Oreos back, but knew I would be eating them for lunch, so just left them on the counter. I actually need to get a crap ton of work done today, Freak, so you lucked out on warden duty.
Seriously?
I rolled my eyes and headed down the hallway to my room. There were horror stories circulating around about me, and that was the way I wanted it to be. If any of these assholes took to heart any of the shit being said, then I knew they would stay the hell away. Most did stay away unless they were forced to be by me. Boinkers had been my initial warden, but when Myra had decided to tangle with the Mafia, he moved to protect her, and somehow I ended up with Clash. I rolled my eyes and opened my bedroom door. Clash was the one I was unsure about. There were moments when I noticed he had the same attitude I did. Fuck everything. I grabbed my laptop and a pile of folders and notebooks. The one good thing about working online was I could work wherever I wanted as long as I had good Wi-Fi. If I lingered too long in my room, I knew Freak would be at my door, and I didn't want that to happen. My room was the only place that was mine. No one came in here unless I wanted them to. That meant the only person who had been in here was Myra. Even the rest of the chicks had stayed out. Though Clash had managed to muscle his way into my room before I laid down the rules. He could watch me all he wanted, but once I was in my room, his ass did not come in.
Yeah, she said she's got a ton of work to do. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do.
Freak was on the phone with, I assumed, either Clash or Wrecker when I walked back into the common. You get a free pass, Freakers. That's what that means. I like to keep my crazy shit for Clash. I set my computer on a table close to the TV. Is that my usual warden on the phone with you?
Yeah, he wanted to know if you hogtied me yet.
I smiled sweetly. Don't spoil my plans for him later, Clash. I heard Clash's chuckle rumble through the phone. Freak ended the call with a couple of yes and okays.
He said he'll be here in a couple of hours since you're behaving today.
I rolled my eyes and plopped down in the chair in front of my computer. It depends on your definition of behave, Freak. From my point of view, I've done nothing but behave the whole time I've been here.
Right, Freak drawled.
Watch your Dr. Phil and leave me alone, Freaker. Mama needs to make some money today. I logged into my computer and got straight to work.
What are you doing on there?
He asked after 5 minutes. Working. You should try it sometime. I organized my two notebooks and pulled out the sheet of notes I had started.
You do the same thing as Cora?
I looked up from my screen.
Huh? Cora is on the computer all of the time. I think she edits books or some shit like that.
I shook my head and looked back down. Written word is not my thing, Freak. I'll stick with designing shit.
Better you than me, he mumbled.
Being a graphic designer was better for me. It was what I loved. Being a freelancer left me wide open to do what I wanted and work with who I wanted. Right now, I was working on a rebranding for a large textile company. They had basically shown me their old logo and asked for something better, but had no idea what that would be. To some people, that might seem like a nightmare, not knowing what the client wanted. But to me, it was absolute heaven. These were the jobs where my creativity came to life. I got lost in my work and didn't have a worry in the world when I was creating.
Clash. How long has she been working? Freak looked over his shoulder at Raven. Since I got off the phone with you this morning. Raven's head was down, her eyes pointed at her computer screen, and she had no idea I was even back. She eat? Nope. It was 1:30 and 5 hours since I talked to Freak. I hadn't planned on being gone for that long. But with Raven actually behaving herself, it was the perfect time for me to run to see my mom and dad. Thanks for keeping an eye on her, brother. Freak turned off the TV and stood. No problem. Don't know what the hell you guys are talking about when you say she's hard to keep up with. I clapped him on the back. Trust me, what you dealt with today is not the normal. Freak walked down the hallway shaking his head. I slowly moved closer to Raven, but she didn't even pay me any attention. She was going to have one hell of a kink in her neck, and I'm sure once she actually took a breath from her computer, she was going to be starving. Nose to the grindstone, huh? I pulled out the chair next to her and sat down. Raven blinked a few times and turned her head to look at me. When did you get back? Just now. Actually, a couple of minutes ago. I was talking to Freak, but you didn't even know it. She leaned back in her chair and raised her arms over her head to stretch. Surprising I didn't realize you were back. I must be getting used to you looking at me all of the time now. I shook my head. You may not have caused any trouble for Freak, but I see you're still sassy as ever. She looked at her watch. You were gone for a few hours, Clash. Did you expect a miracle or something? Would have been nice, but no. I ruffled through her papers sitting next to her. What you got going on here? She grabbed the papers and set them on the other side of her computer. Work. What kind of work? All I had managed to see were rough sketches and scribbles. Rebranding. Stuff you wouldn't get. I sat back in my chair. I think you might have just insulted me, Raven. You're so sharp, Clash. Can't get anything past you. You hungry? I wasn't up for bantering back and forth with her. I had a good morning hanging out with my parents, and I didn't need her to wreck it. I could eat. She looked in the kitchen and frowned. I'd left a pack of Oreos in the kitchen, but it looks like they're all gone. There was an empty blue package lying on the counter with two half-drunk glasses of milk. Yeah, you really can't leave food laying around and expect there to be some left when you want it later. That was something to be learned right away. With up to 10 guys in the clubhouse at all times, it was a given that food didn't last long around here. Raven sighed. I really don't feel like cooking. I'm in the middle of this. Order a pizza. Nah, I'm over pizza. We had it last night. She looked back down at her computer. You may have had it last night, but I didn't. That's because you grabbed a bottle of booze instead of a slice of pizza. Just embracing the biker life, she mumbled. Never thought those words would come out of your mouth. Raven was constantly putting down anything that had to do with the club and the lifestyle. She grunted, but didn't say anything more. Chinese instead of pizza? I suggested. She shrugged. That'll do. I want 3 egg rolls, egg foo young, dumplings, and those sugar-coated donuts. Her hands rested on her computer, and she bit her bottom lip between her teeth. I pulled my phone out and placed the order for all the food she wanted, and just doubled it for me. 20 minutes. She nodded.
Good. Now leave me alone until then. I really do need to get this done today.
Wow, you really are behaving today. She flipped me off, but her eyes didn't move off the screen in front of her.
Sit and spin, Warden.
And we were back to her calling me that. I almost prefer to calling me Biker Boy instead. Almost.
I have plans tomorrow, she said absently.
I tilted my head to the side. Come again? Raven hadn't had any plans since she came into the clubhouse. Suddenly she had a life and needed to go somewhere?
My hair is driving me crazy. I'm getting it trimmed, dyed, and then maybe a manicure too if I have enough time.
No. She looked up.
Say what?
I'm not sitting in a fucking salon for hours while you get shit done to your hair. She smiled wide.
Oh, yes, you are. I mean, you could just let me go alone if you don't want to come with.
Wrecker would fucking kill me if I let Raven go off on her own. The odds of her actually coming back were slim to none. You know damn well that's not going to happen. Not after you pissed off the Ultra. She rolled her eyes.
Not hard to do with those assholes.
They were a bunch of assholes, but Raven was good at pushing people's buttons.
Seriously, can't you just do all that shit here?
She shook her head.
No. I want to try something different and need a pro to do it, at least the first time.
What happens after the first time? A sly smile spread across her lips.
I watch what they do the first time, and then I figure out how to do it myself.
She shrugged and closed her laptop.
I want it done the right way, but I'm also not made of money.
I hung my head. What time?
9.
So that means it's going to take all fucking day. She scrunched up her nose.
Possibly.
She stood up and cradled her laptop in her arms.
I'm going in my room to finish this, since you can't stop talking to me. Let me know when the food is here.
You mean I get to come in your room? One time I had gone in Raven's room, and she about had a shit fit. She looked over her shoulder at me.
No. Knock, Warden.
She traipsed down the hallway, and I watched the swing of her hips until she ducked into her room.
The fucking salon.
I jumped, startled, and spun around to see Pipe in the kitchen.
What the fuck?
I hollered. Pipe walked out of the kitchen, a cup in his hand and a shit-eating grin on his face.
You were so into Raven you didn't even notice me walk into the kitchen?
My back is to the fucking kitchen, asshole.
Raven saw me, though.
He sat down in the chair she just vacated. Of course she fucking had. Good for her.
So now you're headed to the salon to get your hair and nails done tomorrow?
I rolled my eyes and tossed my phone on the table.
Yeah, maybe I should ask Nikki if she wants to go, and then you can take them.
He shook his head.
That shit ain't gonna happen. Besides, Nikki works tomorrow. You're gonna have to try to pawn this shit off onto one of the other guys.
I pointed a finger at Pipe. Myra. Raven would definitely rather go with her friend than me.
Boink and her just left.
What?
Some trip or something. They'll be back in 2 days. Fucking shit.
Of course.
And before you say Carmen, Ren, or Alice, know that if you get all 3 of them to go, you are going to have a shit show on your hands because you're still going to be the one going because Wrecker isn't going to be caught dead in some salon.
You sure? Maybe he could get his beard trimmed or some shit like that. Pipe chuckled.
Pretty sure Alice takes care of that shit for him. One of the perks of having an old lady.
That, and getting late on the regular.
Pipe held his cup out to me. True that, brother.
So now I'm not only a babysitter, I have to spend all fucking day at the salon.
Pipe shrugged. Guess that's better than dodging bullets, right?
It was, but not by much.
Wrecker needs to figure out what the hell he wants to do with Raven. I wasn't going to spend the rest of my life following her around while she got her hair done. The Ultra, man. Things may seem to be smooth at the time, but we really can't get complacent with these guys.
I know that, but there has got to be something better we can do with Raven than keep her locked up in the clubhouse. A knock sounded on the front door. Who the fuck is that? Pipe asked. I stood up and pulled my wallet out. Chinese. I paid the guy at the door and gave him a hefty tip for bringing the shit ton of food.
Damn, brother. You should have told me you were ordering us all lunch. I wouldn't have eaten.
I rolled my eyes and started pulling out containers. This is just for me and Raven. You or any other of these assholes want some, they're going to have to order their own.
Brutal, he chuckled.
I grabbed an egg roll and munched on it as I walked down the hallway to Raven's room. I pounded on the door and waited for her to open it. She had some shit music playing that made it hard to believe she could even hear herself thinking in there. The door swung open, and she stood there with her long hair pulled up into a messy bun on the top of her head. She was now wearing a large, oversized sweatshirt.
Yeah?
You're the one who told me to knock on the door when the food was here. She pursed her lips.
Sorry, I didn't think it would be here already. I figured you were just coming to bother me since you hadn't seen me all day.
Nah, babe. It was a nice break this morning, one I thoroughly enjoyed.
Of course, she mumbled.
She planted a hand on my chest and pushed me backward. She pulled her door shut behind her and flounced down the hallway.
Thanks.
You just apologized and said thank you. I stood there dumbfounded.
Don't get used to it, Warden, she called.
Raven was grabbing all of her food and piling it into her arms when I finally came out of my stupor and headed back to the common room. You're not eating out here?
God, no, she laughed. I still have about 6 hours of work left to do. And I can't do it with you guys hanging around.
I'm slightly offended, Pipe scoffed.
Am I supposed to care?
Raven settled the last container in her arms and moved into the kitchen.
I'm taking this fancy basket, she called.
What? I looked at Pipe and he shrugged. Raven walked out of the kitchen with her food piled into a basket, two beers in her hand, and a plate tucked under her arm.
Carmen or one of the other chicks probably brought it to try to organize shit in the kitchen. But it works pretty good for a food caddy.
She held up the basket.
I should have been a Girl Scout or some shit like that.
Pipe chuckled.
Yeah, putting your food in a basket is totally Girl Scout worthy.
Raven stuck her tongue out at him and headed back to her room.
Leave me alone, Warden. I promise to stay in my room for the rest of the day, Raven called.
Her door slammed, and I'm sure she locked it as soon as she set down her basket full of Chinese food.
Still with the Warden shit, huh?
I grabbed a plate and fork from the kitchen.
Yeah. You sound thrilled with it.
I set my plate down and loaded it up with food. I set the half-empty container of Egg Foo Young in front of Pipe.
Hate it. Not that she fucking cares.
Pipe grabbed the container and looked in it.
What in the fuck is this shit?
Egg Foo Young dipshit. Try it. He wrinkled his nose and set it back down.
Think I'll pass on Egg Foo of some young guy.
You're an idiot. He shrugged and snagged an egg roll.
Whatever you say, Warden.
He swiped the egg roll through the sweet and sour sauce and shoved half of it in his mouth.
Didn't you say you ate already?
I sat down and shoveled a forkful of rice into my mouth.
Did, but you just offered me some of your egg shit, so I figured I could take this.
I moved my plate away from him. You were wrong. He shrugged and sat back in his chair.
Nikki working? I asked.
He nodded.
Yeah. Gotta pick her up in a couple of hours.
He finished the egg roll and reached for another one.
Get off my shit!
I grabbed everything and moved it all to the other side of the table. Pipe laughed.
You suck at sharing, brother.
I was an only child. Fuck yeah, I suck at sharing. Pipe held up his hands.
I hear you loud and clear. I gotta go work on my bike anyway. Nikki and I were on it the other day, and the brakes felt a little soft.
He stood up and made one more reach for my food.
I will stab you with this fucking fork, asshole. Touchy, touchy. I think Raven is rubbing off on you a bit.
I flipped him off.
See?
He shook his finger at me.
That's Raven right there.
Go fix your bike, I mumbled. Pipe headed out to the garage, chuckling under his breath. I set my fork on the plate and sat back.
I was not acting like Raven. If that were the case, I would be holed up in my room right now, not talking to anyone.
Fuck that, I grumbled. Fuck that indeed.
Chapter 3 Raven. You like? I turned my head to the side, then faced the mirror. Like is not the word I would use. Michelle sniffled and took a step back. If you...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?